Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of women and men who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer.
Today we're recording a special episode of our podcast to celebrate International Women's Day on the 8th of March. I'm joined by Samia Alkadi, who's CEO here at Breast Cancer Care and who has worked at the charity for 25 years. We're also joined by Dr. Emma Penry, who's our clinical director, who's worked as a senior clinical nurse specialist and gained her PhD in biological sciences. We'll be discussing how things have changed for women with breast cancer over the past few decades, both in terms of care and treatment, and what women have done to help us get to where we are now. We'll also have a look at how breast cancer care has grown to support millions of women, and how we'll support even more once we merge with the research charity Breast Cancer Now this April in 2019. Emma and Samia, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks to be here.
So breast cancer care has a history of inspiring women that's led to where we are now. This began with its founder, Betty Westgate. Samia, who was Betty and what led her to set up the charity?
I remember Betty well. I joined in 1994 and she was still very much part of the organisation. And Betty was a biology teacher from Croydon. She was diagnosed in the late 60s and she was a really gutsy person. And I think that she felt that the experience she had of being diagnosed and the treatment she had lacked information and support. Mm. So being the very passionate, driven person she was, she thought, well, this isn't good enough. And breast cancer was very taboo at the time. Nobody talked about the fact that other people had breast cancer. So you wouldn't know that your neighbour possibly had had breast cancer too. You might not even know that your auntie or mum had had breast cancer too. So she took it upon herself to put an advert in the local paper and said, you know, if anyone else out there has had breast cancer, I'm trying to get a little group together. And Betty's Girls were formed, and by 1973 they set up an organisation. I think initially it might have been called the Mastectomy Association. It was then called the Breast Care and Mastectomy Association, and then we were called Breast Cancer Care in 1994. But it was her drive and passion that women should have information, accurate information. She'd been told in a rather mumbly way that she had breast cancer and very little information was given to her. It was suggested to her that she might use, you know, a bag of bird seed as a prosthesis, that sort of thing. So, and she thought this isn't good enough and thought women need more information. But the other thing she felt was that women needed support from one another, so they needed the opportunity to talk to each other about their experience. And I think what's amazing is what Betty's vision then is still the essence of what we do now. So yeah, her legacy has lived on throughout the organisation, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that idea of letting someone know they're not alone and letting them give each other support is so what breast cancer care is about right now, and exactly what she didn't have when she was first diagnosed.
Absolutely. I think this is an organisation which puts people who have direct experience of breast cancer at the very centre of what we do. It's not an us and them organisation where we're looking after other people. It's an organisation where people with breast cancer are deeply involved in making decisions about what we do. Our board is made up with, a third of our board will have had breast cancer, and that means that they put the needs of people with breast cancer first and foremost before the, say, the sort of vain needs of an organisation potentially. Mm. And yeah, it's a very sort of, the organisation, the beneficiaries of the organisation are very much central to the running of the place and the drive, the energy behind the success of breast cancer care.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Breast Cancer Now also has a history of support from women who were key in raising money for their research centre that opened in 1999. And I was thinking, aside from their legacies of these women, of women like Betty, why is it important to remember them? And what difference does it actually make that both charities have come from people directly affected by breast cancer? Emma, what do you think?
Well, for me, it makes a huge difference. I mean, as Samia says, all these years later, we remain profoundly connected to people affected by breast cancer. And I think both charities have stayed true to their roots and continue to put people directly affected at the heart of absolutely everything that we do. I mean, Betty, as we've heard, she had a passion for all patients receiving information, which is one of my passions as well. Still today, we ensure that people contribute to that. So from checking things like the accessibility and the appeal of our patient information, everything that we put out, to feeding into and being the voice of our campaigns and lobbying, contributing to our strategy and the direction of the charity, and being at the heart of much of our service delivery as well. And the research centre, the Tony Robbins Centre that you mentioned, even after 20 years, it still continues to make great progress into advancing our understanding of the causes of breast cancer and the very best treatment for it. And it's been at the forefront of many key breakthroughs in terms of making progress for this disease. So it's hugely important, and I really do believe that having people directly affected as the founders is what's carried that momentum through for us all these years later and is equally as important today.
Yeah, definitely. And Samir, what do you think about the importance of having, I mean, you mentioned a bit before, but the importance of making sure women stay at the centre of our charity and of our work?
You stay in touch with what actually makes a difference to people. So rather than think you know what people want in that patronising way where you're making assumptions about what people want, you're actually told by people who need our services what they want from us. So I think Betty's legacy has not only been her vision about the need for evidence-based accurate information and the need for peer support, but it also has been the need for an organisation which is essentially run by people who use the services. So if you think it started from Betty's Girls, there are still thousands of volunteers affected by breast cancer within the organisation. Lots of the staff have had breast cancer. Lots of the board have had breast cancer. So I think it changes the nature of the organisation from an organisation which is thinking about that us and them dynamic, which I don't think is nearly so healthy.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, if you think back to when Betty first founded Breast Cancer Care in 1973, things were so different. And for breast cancer now, that dates back to the 1980s, and both have come so far since then. What has changed for women with breast cancer since that time? Emma, I wonder if you could start with talking about the treatment and research side.
Well, that's a huge question, because in a good way, lots and lots and lots has changed since then. So I may just think about a couple of highlights. I mean, one of the areas we've known for some time that the hormone estrogen can play a part in stimulating breast cancers to grow. And we've had hormone therapies for some time, but over the last 25 years or so, researchers have found out far more about when to use these drugs and how long for. And also we've got new therapies at our disposal, so there's more choice, more drugs to use. I guess for me, one of the biggest areas has been our understanding of breast cancer cell biology. So in other words, what makes breast cancer grow and spread and all the different types, because breast cancer isn't just one disease, far from it. And that's meant that we've developed drugs that specifically target these processes of growth, known as targeted or biological therapies. So nowadays we can test breast cancer at an individual level to see what's helping it grow. And that means people's treatments are tailored specifically to their type of breast cancer. And that's astonishing. It's a million miles away from the one size fits all approach that we would have had when Betty was being treated. I think also we're seeing newer and newer targeted therapies, and that's crucial. A more recent example is a new drug group called PARP inhibitors, which some people may have come across. And it was actually a crucial study from the Toby Robbins Research Centre that found that these drugs could target weaknesses in cancer cells for specific groups of people with faulty genes.
And so that's paving the way for all sorts of future developments. And I've no doubt that many more drugs will continue to be developed in future years. It's not even just actually all about drugs. We've seen developments in radiotherapy. We understand far more about the best way to give it, over what length, and in such a way that we minimise the side effects from it. Because it's not just about treatment, it's about the impact of those treatments. And on another level as well, we've seen improved surgery and improved reconstruction techniques, which again has its own important place in treatment for helping people with quality of life and also body image after surgery.
Yeah, yeah. And Samir, how has care and support changed since that time?
I think the essential needs we have to talk about our experiences and to have comfort and commonality between people is the same. But I think the biggest thing is the openness now. I think that people who have breast cancer often feel able to talk about their experience and therefore seek help, find other people with common experience. If you look at our forums, the it's a wonderful way of seeing human need at play in a way, because some people want to communicate, some people want to tell their story, some people want to listen, some people don't want to share their story, but they do seek out others and hopefully get their needs met in different ways. I think if I was to think about what I'm most proud of that we've achieved over the years, it's the demystification of breast cancer. It's the fact that we've often got it out into the mainstream media, got some quite varied and challenging stories, some optimistic stories, some less optimistic stories. So the whole breadth of human experience, we've tried to get loads of diversity into those stories so that different communities aren't isolated and feeling that like breast cancer isn't a story that relates to them. We've tried to make sure that men know that they're included in the story, whether they be some of the few men who were diagnosed with breast cancer or love people who've had breast cancer. So for me, it's about demystifying it, getting out into the open so that people can seek out what they need. I think people are much more breast aware, which is great. And I think we can be reasonably proud about that. But I think we've learned that us being aware about the potential for breast cancer is not the same as actually people practicing breast awareness and checking their breasts and looking for changes. So I still think there's a job to be done in making sure that people check for changes in their breasts. And actually, I think the demystifying is part of that, because I think the less frightened, and I may be wrong, so Emma should check me if I'm wrong, but I think the less frightened people are, the more likely they are to take responsibility for their health. I think fear is quite a paralysing thing. So I think the more we demystify breast cancer, the more we talk about it, the more people feel like if it is something can be done about it, and therefore they seek help. So it's the demystification, the being more open, people sharing their experience more. And I think that's happened in society generally. I think people are more open about what it is to be human than they used to be, and I think that's a good thing.
Definitely. And I think bringing up your point about the forum as well and our other types of peer support, social media over the past 10 years has just massively expanded how much that support can give for women with breast cancer, whereas before Betty had to put an advert in the paper to try and find people who also have breast cancer. Now someone can just go online and there's a huge community of women sharing their stories, sharing their experiences, and as you said, demystifying what it is to have breast cancer.
And I think you would verify this because it's something you know very well. I think when we first had our forums, we were a bit nervous about whether people might share inaccurate stories or peddle fear and that sort of thing. And so we monitored it reasonably carefully to sort of feel that we were caretaking it. And actually what's been really fantastic about the forums is that people do that themselves, so that it's totally sort of self-managing, in the sense that if someone says something which someone else thinks, oh, that's going to frighten, or that's not quite right, that's inaccurate, I can't remember the expression you used, but it sort of
Well, we have our community champions as well, who okay. are all women who've used the forum for their own support, and now will they're sort of champion users, so they'll be the first one to reply to someone who has maybe come onto the forum for the first time.
I love that. See, I love that. I think if we can empower, if we can facilitate, if we can create an environment where people can help each other out, that's just an amazing thing, you know. So.
And you're right, I think that is what it is. It's empowering women to share their stories and to being a platform for people to support one another as well. Well, I think all of that, I mean, the progress in care and support and treatment just shows the impact of those leading the charity has had, like yourselves, of both charities. And just to look back of the last year, Breast Cancer Care responded to 5.8 million counts of breast cancer support requests, which included 2.77 million visits to our website and information pages, and almost 2,400 women's stories that were shared. I want to focus on this last point, as it's something we've been talking about a lot, because it shows how important it is to talk about women's experiences, not just on the 8th of March, on International Women's Day, but every day. Samir, how has the conversation about breast cancer in the public changed since you started at Breast Cancer Care in 1994?
I think it is this openness, essentially. I think that we're more honest and clearer. There's less euphemisms used in healthcare. Mm. And I think that that's very liberating. And it also, I think there's nothing more than, I think ambiguity can breed anxiety. And I think that the fact that the conversations about breast cancer are now more accurate, which I think is enormously due to Emma and her team constantly getting very accurate information out there to yes. increase the level of the debate. I think that the openness has meant that the government are much more keen to do a lot about it. I think they're more aware of people affected by breast cancer because people affected by breast cancer are making a noise. So in terms of the priorities, cancer and breast cancer has become an increasing priority for the health service, which I think is good news because it's a disease that affects a lot of us.
Yeah.
I don't mean exclusively breast cancer, I mean all cancers. And I think that's one of the reasons they've made such a lot of progress with it.
Yeah, and it's actually unbelievable to think that considering 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in the UK in their lifetime, that there was so much silence about it beforehand. Yeah. Emma, how do you think the conversation's changed?
I mean, I agree with Sammy. It's about being so much less taboo. I mean, you can see it actually all around us, not just in social media, but things like in the soaps and things like that. There's far more storylines. It's okay to show yeah. people having cancer and having treatment. And that just wasn't the case 20 or 30 years ago, where people would almost feel embarrassed to disclose their diagnosis. But also for me, the conversations allow us to talk about more than just the cancer, and that's been crucially important to our information and support. So for example, when I say more than just cancer, I'm talking about some of perhaps the more hidden effects of treatment. So things like altered body image and the impact of treatments on sexuality and intimacy, and also profound ongoing effects for some people like lymphedema and fatigue, menopausal symptoms. And of course, the biggie for most people that fear that the disease will come back, that fear of recurrence. And our moving forward courses are perfectly in tune with the reality that women continue to need help long after their treatment's finished. And I think that just wasn't acknowledged years ago. People were discharged and left to it. And as Sammy said, we recognise more isolated groups. I'm thinking about perhaps for younger women and helping them to talk more openly about the possibility of their fertility being affected by treatment, and also how to talk to young children. So these very intimate and personal conversations people are getting help and support for now because it's more acceptable to talk about it. Of course, the other huge one is secondary breast cancer, which I think was largely hidden for so many years. Again, much more taboo, but now there's so much open discussion. There's confrontation, in rightly so, that the standards of care for people with secondaries just don't always match people with primary breast cancer. Mm. And also all those difficult, thorny issues like access to treatments, quality of life, including timely referrals to palliative care. All of these things are being spoken about now, and that can only help make it a better experience for those living with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Samir, you've been at the charity for 25 years, which is incredible. And you'll be stepping down when the new charity comes together in April. What has driven and inspired you throughout that time?
Gosh, I think it's really amazing that I've been here for 25 years to me, in the sense that I never sort of thought for a moment I would be here as long as that. I think what has inspired me is, I think the genuine sense, it's going to sound ever so sort of something, but the genuine sense that we are making a proper difference to people. We're actually in our small way doing something useful for people and improving the lives of people affected by what is a very frightening and difficult and challenging disease. I've loved what we've been able to do for people with breast cancer. It's just, I'm so proud. And when you mention those figures, I just can't believe it, because, you know, 25 years ago, the figures would have been in the tens and twenties, not in the
5.8 million.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, part of that's down to the world of digital, which is such a wonderful way to be able to communicate with people, because it's both intimate and general. So I think people think about the general, the website and the pay, you know, the information on that. But there's also an intimacy with the digital contact, and it can be one-to-one. So I think it's been, what our potential impact? That's what's inspired and motivated me, what we've actually been doing. But as much as that, I feel really passionate about the culture of organisations, and the thing that's really motivated me and excited me all the way through is how we continue to grow and develop an organisation where we maintain a kind and loving culture, where we maintain an environment where people are able to offer amazing support to people. Because unless you can create an organisation which is loving and kind, there's no way you're going to be able to offer those, that hand of friendship to people affected by breast cancer, unless you're treating each other amazingly well at breast cancer care. And I've really enjoyed trying to make that happen. And I wouldn't ever want people to mix up kindness with weakness. I think we're quite a robust organisation. I think we're quite tough on each other. I think we have high expectations of each other. I think we feel really accountable to both our beneficiaries and our funders. But I think you can be all those things. You can be quite robust whilst being kind and compassionate and aware of what it is to be human. So those are the, for me, it's both those things. It's both our impact and how we do it, which is really important to me. I feel really, really lucky and honoured, really, to have been able to play my part in the growth of breast cancer care. I think a lot of it's chance. It's where you happen to be when stuff happens. And, you know, I should be really, really sad to go. I'm very excited about the future. I think that potentially we can do very, very much more for people affected by breast cancer. I feel very lucky that I don't think I'll look back on this 25 years and think I could have been doing something more useful. I feel proud of, you know, what I've been spending my time doing. So
yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question.
But no, you definitely did. Well, I think everyone here can definitely see the impact that you've had. And you're right, being essentially, it is a caring organisation. And to be caring, you it's nothing to do with weakness. It's to do with being strong and being there for people and being compassionate. But yeah, thank you, Samir. And Emma, what has driven and inspired you since you've worked here, and also for the future of the charity and for women with breast cancer?
Well, I'm very much inspired by the improvements that have been made. I mean, it feels like every year there's a new development or change in practice that's for the better. But the other side of that coin is I'm equally driven because breast cancer is nowhere near a done deal. And I think that's really important. There's so much more to be done to try and stop women dying from the disease, but also to improve the lives of those that are affected. We know our reach is very impressive and is hopefully going to get better. But one of the worst things I hear on the helpline is someone saying, I wish I'd heard about you sooner. I'm also hugely inspired by my colleagues. I've been very lucky over the years. I've worked with some incredible doctors and nurses who have gone way above and beyond to deliver care and knowledge. And also my colleagues currently, I work with a super team of nurses and a wonderful publishing team. And I know that each of them is passionate about making sure what we do is the highest quality. And that's hugely inspiring for me. I'm very lucky to have the team around me. And as Sammy says, I'm inspired by the merger. I want it to mean a brighter future for people with breast cancer. And I do believe that united we can aspire to do more in all sorts of ways. A lot of things we've talked about today, helping with side effects, fewer people being diagnosed, and for those that are living longer, but also fair and greater access to the very best treatments and improved quality of life. So there's lots still to be done. And you mentioned earlier about the huge reach that we have with information. In my area, it's a challenge, because this evolving world of science and understanding means that our information has to keep up pace with that, and that we're delivering the very latest information all of the time. So I'm certainly inspired by all of that, but also driven to make it better, because there's still loads more to be done.
Yeah, it's an exciting time ahead, definitely. Well, thank you both so much for joining me, Emma and Samir, and thank you for sharing your thoughts this International Women's Day.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the new charity on the Breast Cancer Care and Breast Cancer Now websites. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And finally, have a wonderful International Women's Day, and hopefully also share your own inspiring stories.
Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.